Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, as we continue rolling on in the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign, day 507, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 874 since January the 1st, 2016. The Bible reads, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Lord, for the great Bible study time this morning and the prayer time as well. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would indeed have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts by your grace forgive others. And we pray that you would cleanse us of our sins and all unrighteousness. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Manifest the might and the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us supernatural energy, grace, and strength to proclaim your gospel and to preach your holy word. And Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be here. And we all can say with Peter, when he said on the Mount of Transfiguration, "It is good for us, Lord, it is good for us to be here with you." And we thank you for how you show up always and show out. Not because we're good, but because you're good. And we pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the devil is fighting your work, as always, we're not ignorant of his devices. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from every aspect of this time together. Cast out the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, foolishness, Sanballat and Tobias, these people who only live to try to hinder you in your work on earth, doing the work of the devil, and constantly trying to accuse others when in reality they're the ones full of the evil demonic heart, and constantly trying to stop your work and hinder your work on purpose. And so, Lord, remove away from us the Judases and the Alexander Coppersmiths and Demetriuses, as well as the Sanballats and Tobiases. Throw out their wicked plans as you've done for years. And at the same time, Lord, I thank you for the opposition. I thank you, Lord, for the enemies. Because in your wisdom, you've allowed us to have enemies to use as gravel and grist to accomplish great things. There's something on the inside of us who are truly born again and saved that drives us to want to conquer and to defeat. And that's, I believe, something you have put in us. And if we don't have a challenge, if we don't have an enemy, then we won't do much. So thank you for that. And we don't understand it all. It is all amazing to us. We thank you, however, for it all. Save those souls who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, family, friends, and foes, by the grace of God, I want to continue preaching in your hearing a message series that I started last week. By the grace of God, seeking forgiveness, giving forgiveness, and repentance after forgiveness. Part 2, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 507, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 874, since January the 1st, 2016. Chuck Swindoll, the great Bible teacher and pastor that God has used down through the years, said, "We are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. And we are most like God when we forgive." Again, I must say here at the outset that I really do not believe most Bible-believing Christians have a problem with forgiving simply because of Christ living in him. I believe a bigger problem in the church today, in families today, and in the workaday world today is people admitting that they're wrong, admitting they're evil, and stop hiding their evil under a bushel of lies, and people who are not willing to confess the evil that they've done towards you, God, and towards God, and towards others. I believe that's the biggest problem in the church today. I believe that's the biggest problem in the home today. It's not a matter of forgiveness, of getting forgiveness, and it's not even a matter of people wanting to forgive because they have been forgiven. I don't think most people even think along those terms. Some do. But most Christians forgive because of the Christ living in them. They can't help but forgive. And they forgive all of the time without people asking for forgiveness. So the crisis is not in people forgiving. The crisis is in people seeking forgiveness. So many people are proud, arrogant, and stubborn. We saw this past week by a man acting very arrogant and proud, wrong as the devil, an FBI agent who said all kinds of ungodly things about our new president in a very effeminate, demonically effeminate, weak, emotional, crazy. I don't even know how he made the FBI. I don't know how. What is the criteria? I might as well get a job at the FBI. I mean, anybody ought to be able to get a job at the FBI if he is an employee at the FBI, which he stood so strong for their high principles, which he violated with every breath to his fellow FBI partner, I guess. And they're both wrong as two left shoes. I thought only highly moral people got into the FBI, but this man the other day looked like he came right out of hell lying. And just lying his, excuse me, lying his behind off. And then trying to throw it all back in the face of the congresspeople who were asking him questions about the lies that's right there in front of everybody. That one prosecutor congressman was so wise to ask him, I'll tell you what, you read what you said. And he made him, the congressman made him read what he said about the president while he was an FBI agent. They're supposed to be nonpartisan. He was not seeking forgiveness. He was too proud and too arrogant to ask for forgiveness. He was playing games and talking all this high-sounding talk when he's guilty as he can be. And everybody in the world knows it because we got the documents. We have the emails. That's the problem in the world today. That's the problem in the church, sad to say. That's the problem in the family. People who are not willing to humble themselves down and admit they are wrong. They would rather stand up and sit up like a prayer dog like he did and proclaim their righteousness and their holiness and how moral they are. And we have the facts right here in front of us of what you said. And he was offended that they would accuse him of doing what he did. And that's the problem today. Not forgiveness. If a person has Christ living inside of them, if they're saved, been saved a while, it's easy for them to forgive. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but it's going to come pretty easy. If you are saved and you read your Bible and you pray every day, you're going to forgive people. You forgive people without them asking for it. That's the problem. We must be like God in this area of making people, if they're not willing to do it on their own, to apologize for their evil and wicked ways, their sins, and the things that they have done to hurt others. Otherwise, we're not helping these people. You've got to acknowledge your sins. You've got to tell the truth about your evil ways. Yes, you have to acknowledge your nasty attitude that you displayed. You have to acknowledge the lie that you told. And it's good not only, watch this, it's really not good for the forgiver to hear it. It's more good for you to apologize. It's healthier for you to admit your wrong and your evil, your wrongdoing, your bad attitude, the lie you told. You got people who have told lies and they've never come back and said, you know what, that was a lie. It was just a lie. And their consciences and their spirits are rotting because of that lie. They told years ago. They still won't admit it. And yet the party knows you lied. It's right there in front of everybody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, on last week, by the grace of God, we talked about this. We talked about the importance of forgiveness in the body of Christ and in the larger society. Those who have offended should confess their sins and seek forgiveness. We talked about this at length. Therein lies the crisis. I don't believe there's a crisis in people forgiving. Yes, there are some so-called Christians who refuse to forgive. But see, here's what some offenders want. They want everything to be like it was before. And that's not going to happen. That's not good for you, and it's not good for them. It's not good for the person who offended. It's not good for the person who is forgiving. You had better trust and verify. If they lied to you and they told a series of lies, you better check everything out they say for a while. for a while. And if they get offended, then they're not truly repenting. See, if they have truly repented, their life ought to be an open book to you now. They provide things honestly. They do it on their own. They bring you the receipt. Since they are now, they confess that they have been stealing money from you every time they go into Walmart with your money, with your card. They bring you a receipt so that you can see that they didn't use your money to buy something for themselves. Those who have been offended should be ready to freely forgive as Christ has forgiven us. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, you better trust and verify. And I would change Reagan's statement on some people. You better just verify. Don't trust nothing. Just verify. Don't trust it. Don't trust it. It has nothing to do with forgiveness. That's two separate things. I'm changing Reagan's famous statement: trust and verify. I'm taking trust off and just verify. And if you verify and they check out for a while, maybe 5 years or whatever the case might be, that's how damaging a lie is, by the way. These people who think that lying and dishonesty and deceit and covering up things and hiding things is just some little small thing. It's not. It's a big thing. It's so big, I believe that it has destroyed most marriages and most families. If you can't trust your family member, who can you trust? If your family member, your spouse, won't tell you the truth, who will tell you the truth when you already know the truth about them? And you got some devilish people who will affirm and swear and lie up and down they didn't do something when you know they did it. Thus taking God's name in vain, swearing and on God and using God's name in their lie. And people like that are in danger of going to hell, I do believe. Those who have offended should repent. Not only should they confess it and admit it, but they need to repent and seek to not offend again. Don't do it again. You cannot repent of your whoring around and your adultery and say that, and then you still got the girlfriend on the string. You're leaving the door open, for all kinds of lies and tricks. Oh, you say you're breaking it off now? Okay, well, Liz, let me just tell you something. I'm pregnant. We need to get together and talk about that. No, you don't. You're right. You should say, well, let's talk about it over the phone. No, I think we need to talk about this face to face. And you know you should not do that. Because you'll be right back in the sack again, wrong and committing adultery and feeling guilty. Don't fall for that. Don't let one sin beget another one. People are often encouraged to forgive others and to let it go as a way of freeing themselves from the burden of animosity, bitterness, and resentment toward others. And thank God some people can confess the truth and be honest about things better, quicker than others. Some can forgive better and quicker than others. It's a God's grace thing, quite frankly. And everybody's different, and I acknowledge that. I know that. Just this past week, a popular pastor in Jacksonville, Florida, finally forgave his father for forsaking his two brothers and his mother, and being a drunkard and being abusive towards his mother. Sadly, his dad was already dead, or is already dead. But this was something that was not resolved in his heart. God had used him mightily. Jesus had changed his life, and God blessed him tremendously with a wonderful wife and family, and he was doing great. He is doing great things, but he had not dealt with this issue. This was still something in his heart. He had not fully forgiven his dad and released his dad, and at the same time released himself. And so he proclaimed this past week or so that he is free. And I'm here to tell you that once, see, this is what God wants. He wants you to be free. And you will not, listen to me very carefully, you will not be free if you know you have offended, if you know you have done evil, and you know that you have done wrong, and you have refused to confess it, to repent of it, to deal with it, to confront the person, to humble yourself down in front of the person, and you will not be free if you don't forgive the person. So both parties are in bondage if you don't deal with this. And somebody needs to initiate something. Yes, it should be the person who has offended. But if that's not happening, you better deal with it. If you know there's something betwixt you and your brother or your sister, leave your offering at the altar, but deal with that issue. Make it right. Make it right. You say, preacher, have you ever had to do that? Yes. First of all, after I got saved, I apologized to my dad and to my mom for my behavior before I got saved. I apologized to my mother for another, and to my dad at another time for doing something after I got saved. And not only that, my first real pastor after I got saved, I was there for the duration of my time in the Air Force, and then we had a little falling out. And no big deal. It was not a big thing. Well, certainly was not a big deal to me. And it was not a big deal to him, but it was not right. It was not the way God wanted me to depart from the man who taught me everything I knew as far as the Bible was concerned after I got saved. And so after about a year and a half, two, three, I don't know how long it's been, it was, but I went to a conference. And the man dealt with the issue of not having your conscience clear. And I didn't understand what was going on, but all I knew was that every time I tried to pray, God would bring his face into my mind's eye. And I couldn't get away from it. Every time I would try to pray, you know, basically God was saying, you need to get things right with him. He's your first pastor. You got not only saved through his ministry, but you got called to preach through his ministry. And I'm not going to bless your ministry that I want you to do until you go back and make things right. Just so happened, I was in the conference in this particular state. And so one night, my wife and I packed up, and we went down there. And I apologized to him and made things right. And now when I pray for him on purpose, but I don't pray. I mean, I don't see his face in my mind's eye when I pray now. That's taken care of. God was pleased that night after I went down and made things right with my pastor. And it's been a beautiful, beautiful life ever since then. And I thank God for giving me the grace to do that. You got to go back, folks, and make things right, and don't leave wrong. Don't leave wrong, because God's not going to bless your life if you do. You okay? Don't leave wrong, because God's not going to bless your life if you do leave wrong. And you're going to think he's going to bless it. You're going to beg him to bless it. It's not going to work. Be it a parent, be it a pastor, anybody like that in your life, you need to do the right thing. So as we look around at our society today, beloved, it seems that many are not getting the message. The message of humbling themselves down and apologizing and admitting you're wrong. I believe that the downfall, if there ever is a downfall, and I pray not, the downfall of our present president will be because he refuses to apologize. He refuses to admit his wrongdoing. He has bought into a worldly idea that to admit nothing, to apologize for nothing. And I guess in politics, in that world, they believe that it will work for you. But in God's economy, it will not work for you. God will bless you even more if you admit your wrongdoing, if you apologize, if you tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I believe that it was the downfall of President Obama, the reason why he did not succeed like President Reagan to get somebody that he has appointed his vice president or somebody in office to follow him and to carry on his work. And is because he lied about and lied to the church, the black church and the white church, if you will, about the issue of homosexuality. He lied. He was dishonest. He knew what he was going to do from the get-go. But he lied not only to the church, but he lied to the country. And I mentioned several times in proclamations and in articles that this would be his downfall, that God is not going to prosper him in Syria or in no other area. And what should have been an easy win for the Democrats, and he could, if he had told the truth and was honest and did not do something that is akin to turning God's world upside down by sanctioning homosexuality, ugly, stinking men touching ugly, stinking men and women with women. That which is an abomination in God's sight. And I know that we have some liberal people in our churches today who believe that that's okay, and it's not. That's something that's going to really bring down God's wrath upon you, your church, your city, your community. And it has happened already. And he, as the president of the United States, claiming to be a Christian, should have never done that, did not have to do that. And I assure you, if he had not done that, whoever he appointed to be president and wanted to be president would have been president, not only for one term, but two terms, and therefore he would have done something greater than Reagan. And all of his accomplishments would have been solidified. Now they're being dismantled piece by piece because he lied. He didn't tell the truth in doing something that is not pleasing to God. So tell the truth, people. Be honest. There's a crisis, as the former Secretary of State said, of integrity. You're really not worth a penny if you can't tell the truth. I mean, that's the least that we can expect from you. It's better to be punished. It's better to be ridiculed about telling the truth for telling the truth than it is to lie. And by the way, I had this thought the other day. I believe that Dr. Jerry Falwell Jr. gave President Trump a rebuke in his own way by inviting a good man, not a good president, but a good man to speak, a liberal Democrat, to speak at Liberty University as a rebuke to President Trump to tell the truth. And Mr. Jerry Falwell Jr. Even brought up this point at the graduation before, while he was introducing this former President Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter. He said, when this president was running for president so many years ago, someone asked him, had he ever lusted after the woman in his heart? He told the truth. And anybody who knows Jimmy Carter, if he lusted in his heart, you know everybody else has. The man's been teaching Sunday school almost since he'd been born. Yes, that's right. He teaches Sunday school every Sunday almost. Has been doing it for many, many years. Packing them in. I've been there to Plains, Georgia. I've seen his house. I've seen the little church that he teaches in. And they can't even get in there when he teaches on Sunday school. No, he was not a good president. And yes, President Trump will probably be a better president in the way that President Reagan was. They have a different skill set and talent to do that. But certainly Jimmy Carter was a more honest man. And he's been the best past president ever. He's accomplished more in his years after the presidency than his years as president, and has done great work for many people. He's responsible for building thousands of houses for people. I might call him myself and ask him to build me one. I don't know. But he's built thousands of houses for people. And literally, himself and President Jimmy Carter. And I believe that that was a love slap in the face to President Trump, who spoke last year. And to have a liberal Democrat to speak at Liberty University was a move of God upon Jerry Falwell's heart to remind President Trump and all people in government and all of the students of Liberty University that integrity matters, telling the truth matters, being honest matters, and not only telling the truth matters, but being transparent matters, revealing things about yourself that nobody else knows. Jimmy Carter, he was, as Jerry Falwell said, Jimmy Carter was joked and ridiculed and lampooned and talked about like a dog, because he admitted the truth. He said the truth. Yes, I have lusted after a woman in my heart. May God have mercy and forgive him. And he did. God did forgive him. Many Christians criticized him. Aha! How can you be a Christian, a Sunday school teacher, and you lust after women? All of them a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of phonies, and a bunch of fakes. Because some of those same ones were actually not only lusting in their hearts, they were having sex with the women in the pulpit. Are you kidding me? See, the person you need to watch, dear friend, is not the person who tells the truth, who is transparent, who admits his temptations, his faults, his failures, his weaknesses. You don't need to watch him. You need to watch that joker who says, oh, I'm never tempted. Oh, they act like they're never tempted. They're never bothered with anything. Oh, no, I'm not. I would never do that. You lying dog. Stop lying. Ah, not me. Oh, no. I'm holier than thou, and I'm holier than everybody else. That's the person you better watch. That's the person who behind your back is trying to get to your spouse. That's the joker you better watch. So, beloved, we have politicians openly calling for and applauding the public harassment of government officials also today with whom they disagree. And by the way, the last time I checked, disagreement was not a trespass. But, buddy, not only is it a trespass or a sin or a transgression today in the minds of many people, it could cost you your life, at least a dinner at a certain restaurant. Oh, yes, people have gone mad. People have gone crazy. We have individuals on both sides of the political spectrum treating their opponents like mortal enemies, heedless to the Bible's command to rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. My recommendation to Christians is not to get into politics. Vote if you must. And certainly preachers ought not to get into politics. You can't do it. Preachers can't do it. Some good Christians, strong Christians, can if they're going to tell the truth and be honest. Go for it. But you got to be strong. You got to have the kind of spine that President Trump has. You say what you want about President Trump, but he is a strong, has a strong constitution. He does not let people determine what he's going to do. He has a unique skill set to get things done. And that's why I have said, and I believe, that a lot of what's going on in America, yes, there's racism in America, always has been, is now, and always will be. But I believe that most of what's going on is not racial. I call it acial, A-shul, or bicial. You have type A people, and you got type B people. And type A people are similar to Trump, and I guarantee you most of the people who support Trump, be they black or white, are type A people. They like to see things get done, or at least you're trying to get things done. Then you have the B people, or the Bishuls. The Bishuls are people who tend to be more touchy-feely and more concerned about consensus. And these people love to talk about dialogue and communication. And like a man said yesterday, bless his heart, he said, what the millennials want is just some dialogue. Just some communication. And what we want you to really do is listen. We don't want you to respond. We don't want you to say anything. We just want you to listen. And just shut up and listen. Let us tell you what's on our hearts and minds. And then after a while, we can have a little conversation or dialogue and so forth. But we don't want you to be throwing the Bible in our face and things like that. Well, see, type A people don't have time for that. But type B people love it. They love discussions. They love dialogue. They love talking. Type A people like getting things done. So I believe a lot of what's going on in America is not necessarily racial. It is acial and bicial. But be that as it may, according to statistics, 20% of relationships end because of unresolved issues that leave one or both parties angry and upset and defeated. The number of road rage incidents that end in death have increased recently. Is this not so? At a rate of 7% each year, And 37% of those fatalities occur not as a result of a car crash, but as a result of the driver getting out of his car and using a weapon of some kind to attack the person he is angry with that he does not even know. What many of these people don't realize, beloved, is that their disposition toward others in this matter is the same disposition that they should expect from God. Jesus said, "If ye forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you." A trespass, if it's not anything else, is certainly when a person pulls in front of you. You don't know what's going on in that person's life. They may be senile, and I agree they should not be driving. Somebody called them blue hairs. He said, if your hair is so gray as blue, please don't get behind the wheel. Don't drive. You don't need to be out on the road. They might have Alzheimer's disease. And here you are getting out with a knife ready to stab somebody because the person forgot that a stop sign does not mean yield. And it right before you stab, I forgot, I'm sorry. And you don't stab somebody because you're angry. Why can't you just sit back in your car and forgive? But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. This verse is self-explanatory, isn't it? Like much of the Bible. Have you noticed how simple the Bible is? It's not difficult. It's just certain passages that are difficult. People complain about the King James Version. The King James Version has never been the problem. Millions of souls have been saved through the reading and preaching of the King James Version. See, the problem is not understanding the King James Version. The problem is doing what the Bible says, the old King James says. You can't expect forgiveness, beloved, if you won't extend forgiveness. Forgiveness is not necessarily forgetting. It is not necessarily even reconciling. These are separate things. It's not condoning and it's not dismissing. All of those things should be done in time. For example, if you take your fist and beat the hell out of your wife and bruise up her face, and like a young lady who got beat up this past week, your wife may forgive you, but reconciliation, in my opinion, should not be in the cards. Because if you have done it before, you're doing it now, you're going to do it again, no matter how much you apologize. Divorce, as far as I'm concerned, is in order from the woman's standpoint. She needs to do what she needs to do to protect herself. Same thing, now we got women beating up men. If your wife is threatening you and telling you with bugged eyes that if you don't you go to sleep around me. Because I see you as the devil and I'm going to put this dagger in your heart. Don't you ever go to sleep around me. that might be grounds for divorce. I don't know. I doubt if you can get remarried on those grounds, but you need to fly away quickly, early, before you fly away for real at the hands of your wife. And don't think that's far-fetched. Is happening every day. Spouses killing spouses. Husbands killing wives. Wives killing husbands. By the way, once you forgive, once you kill somebody, there's no forgiveness at all from either end. It's over. But this past week, I've never even heard of this. And maybe I should not say it for those wives who are contemplating the killing of their husbands. But one husband, she said it was a good man. That's what the wife called him. The wife said he was a good man. Somehow she poisoned him with Benadryl. I said, what in the world? I thought Benadryl was healthy for you, good for you. But somehow she poisoned his body with Benadryl, and the investigators found out that that's what she did. And the man is 6 feet under today, the husband, the good husband, that's what she called him. You got some people who are slick. They'll call you a good husband one day and kill you the next. And so forgiveness is one thing, reconciliation is another. If you got a situation like that going on, God can give you the grace and will give you the grace to forgive people, but they need to be gone. Can somebody say amen? They need to be gone. I can forgive you. I ain't got a problem with that. But if you're threatening my life with Benadryl, you got to go. There's no possible way of reconciliation. Forgiveness is one thing. Reconciliation is another. Me surviving and to see my grandchildren is a whole nother ball game. So you can forgive people, but there's some such as some things such as reconciliation and trusting again. No. That's not necessarily going to happen. And see, this is what offenders want. They connect very quickly. Forgiveness, you're forgiving them with everything being like it used to be. No, sir. No, ma'am. No. That's I don't know where you got that from. You got that from hell, I would imagine. Because that's not going to happen. No. And you're foolish acting, if you will. And some women are this way. Some women act foolishly. The man beat you within an inch of your life, and then you talk about, well, I want to forgive him and have everything like it used to be. No, can't be like that. You better have some witnesses. You better have, you need to do that under the watchful eye of some church folks, if you're a church person. Pastor and his wife and so forth and so on, if you even think about doing that. But if you have gotten beaten like this lady who was married to this football player this past week with blood streaming down your face, then you don't ever need to go back to that person. Just go ahead on and leave. But you can forgive them. While you're walking away and getting into your Uber, you say, Lord, I forgive them for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is a transaction that releases you, the one offended, from the offense and from that person who offended you. When you forgive, you are no longer bound in the grip of another person's foolishness and evil and sin. And you can go on and live your life. Now, the things that you can forgive and reconcile, you need to do that. Don't go out lying on your husband saying he abused you, and then you, just because you want to get with somebody else, you want to get with Bo Peep somewhere. You just want to be divorced. You're trying to find every little excuse you can. God knows the truth, and God's not going to bless that mess. Don't go lying on your wife. Don't go lying on your husband and telling them that your wife has threatened to kill you because that's called terroristic threats. It's a serious crime. There are people in jail right now for that. So don't go lying on your spouse, trying to get out of your marriage, saying, I forgive, but I cannot forgive, I cannot forget, and so forth. There's some things you can forget and you can reconcile and make it work. And you know that you should. Some things you can't. Dr. John MacArthur said failure to forgive will bring at least 4 unpleasant results for the believer. First, failure to forgive will imprison believers in their past, Failure to forgive will imprison you to your past every time. Secondly, unforgiveness produces bitterness, and there's nothing like a bitter person. There are some people who are bitter from day one. Forgiveness or unforgiveness has nothing to do with it. They're just bitter over nothing. Their nature is a bitter nature. Have you ever been around people like that? They're bitter about everything, and they're very suspicious of other people, almost to the point of being paranoid. Third, unforgiveness gives Satan an open door. Unforgiveness gives Satan an open door. Gives Satan an open door into your life. Gives demons an open door into your life to destroy your life further. Anything like that. Unforgiveness. Looking at pornography. Stuff like that. Getting drunk. You're opening a door for the devil and for the demons of hell to come on in and to finish destroying you. Fourth, unforgiveness hinders fellowship with God and with others, because you are a perpetual bitter person. A person who forgives has a concern for the Lord, a concern for the people of the Lord, a concern for fellowship, a concern for knowledge, understanding, wisdom, discernment, a concern for glory, and a concern to be a blessing, not only to be blessed. Make a determination, dear friend, to be a forgiving person today. Even if you cannot reconcile with certain people, if you have a family member who is caught up in the opioid world, I'm told that these people will steal the shirt off your back while you're standing right there in front of them to get those drugs. And they have stolen your television set. They have stolen your Apple laptop computer, or they stole your Samsung phone, and they stole a gold bar you had. You had had 10 of them, but you know one is gone, and you know who took it. That drug addict child of yours. You love them. You already have forgiven them. They're your child. It's your child. But reconciliation at this point, until they get clean and get sober, is not possible if you want to have a place to stay, because they'll come back and steal your whole house after a while and be strung out on drugs. You have to let him or her go. Normally it's a him, so let them go. Forgive them, but they cannot come back to the house. Forgive them, but your locks must be changed, ma'am. Don't call us again down at the police station. Don't call 911. Talking about your television store. You know who got it. Yeah. Oh, you know who has it. wherever he is, that's where it is, okay? Or is already sold, a pond, okay? So don't call us. Don't call 911. Tell me you got an emergency. You keep letting your son in that you love so much. He's stealing your blind. We've already arrested him the first three times. Unless you're going to press charges, then we can't help you. You can forgive him, but you can't keep him around. You got to change the locks on your house. He can't have a key to this house anymore. You need to get a security system to catch him on the camera. Because he knows that he can steal from you without going to jail. Because you love him so much. You can forgive, but you're going to have to let some people go in your life. And there may be a chance of reconciliation in the future, but not right now. And then there's some people, listen to me very carefully, there's some people that you cannot reconcile with. You can forgive them. You can love them. You can even help them through a long-handled spoon if they need help. That means that at a distance. But these are people that you don't want back in your house or in your life. That's how badly they have hurt you. And all you're going to do is respond in anger, so it's best not to even be in a room together. So many wives have been killed by abusing husbands who they got weak, they got lonely, and they let Buster back in the house and for sex and old time's sake, and he used to make me laugh and all that, but Buster gonna remember that you put him in jail for 10 years, and Buster gonna walk out and you're not. So you forgive, but let people go. Some people you cannot reconcile with, even some family members. Just let it be. You do all you can do, all that is within you. You do it to be at peace with people, but after that, you got to let it go. If you want peace. Yes, and parents, you got to get there. Parents, you got to get to that point where you will say bye-bye to your son or to your daughter, never to see them again if they're not going to obey you and listen to you and take your advice. Let it go. Let them go. You've raised them. If you've done a good job raising them, it's easier to say bye-bye. I'll be praying for you. I hope you do the right thing. I hope you take heed of what I told you. They have offended you by disrespecting you and so forth, and you forgive them and love them, and they have betrayed you. They are little Judases to you, knowing that you did everything you could to help them, and yet they still go out and say negative things about you. Forgive them, but feed them out of a long-handled spoon. Let them go. You're going to have to do that if you want peace. If you want joy in your life, I'm talking to parents who have done their job. I'm not talking to parents who have not done their job. You better try to do everything you can to help them. So forgive and verify. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word and your Holy Spirit and the gifts and talents that you give us to make your holy word plain to thousands and to millions around the world, and the technology to do that with. And Lord, we thank you for the creators of Facebook. We thank you for the creators of YouTube. We thank you for the creators of Vimeo. We thank you, Lord, for the creators of live streaming. They don't know what they did, but you do. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor. Have mercy and grace upon us all. And help all of us forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts by your grace forgive others. And help us all, Lord, to do what your holy word has told us to do. to forgive as you have forgiven us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because you have never trusted him or believed on him for salvation in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord for salvation from sin and from hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. Pay attention. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned. We all have come short of the glory of God. We all have done wrong. We all have done evil, haven't we? Tell the truth. Be honest. We have. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sins. For the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Because of our sins, we're all dying. You could drop dead today. A wind can blow called a tornado and wipe you out right now, wipe your house out, and kill everybody in your home in a moment's time. It happens all of the time. We die physically because of sin. And we die spiritually. If we die, our body, our physical body, goes to the grave, but our soul goes to hell. And hell is a very real place. So you need to, whether you want to or not, accept the fact that you right now are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And so hell is bad news. The lake of fire is bad news, but I have some good news for you. That's what God called me to tell you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Dear friend, just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. And that's what God wants. That's why he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for you and was buried and rose again. Not only to save you from hell, but more so to save you to heaven so that God and Jesus can fellowship with you. That's what they are really getting at. But if you don't repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior, then you will go to hell with the devil. By the way, hell was not created for human beings. It was created for the devil and his angels. But it is expanding to include human beings who act like the devil and look like the devil and do like the devil. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. That is your salvation. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. And I'll be more than happy to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart if you want to be saved today. And today may very well be your last day on earth. The rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ may come today, and you will be left behind if you don't trust Christ as Savior, for that is imminent. Your death is imminent. You can die today. And death is real. Sadly, we think it's real only for others, not for ourselves. But one day you will close your eyes in death, and you will never wake up on this side of the ground on earth again. You'll wake up as the rich man did and lift up his eyes and your eyes in hell. So join me in prayer right now, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you by breaking your Ten Commandments through lying, stealing, lusting, dishonoring my parents, and other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, Daniel Ezekiel, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, very clearly, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free literature that we want to give you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good. Is my prayer.